NRP, S2, E9, cameras and live streaming / video production. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about cameras and live streaming video production. Now, when we talk about cameras, there's obviously digital and analog and stuff like that, but we're going to be talking today about video cameras and primarily digital. I mean, there's levels of camera. There's consumer, prosumer, and professional. Consumer is like, you know, anybody, you can have the built-in webcam to your computer or device camera, and that's very consumer. It's very, you know, it usually came with something else you are going to get. Also, there's prosumer, which, you know, is in between what a professional who would spend thousands and thousands of dollars on something and a prosumer who's kind of on the high end but wants good quality. And you can find very, you know, there, if you pay attention and look into what you're trying to find, you can find consumer, almost consumer prices and level of, you know, upkeep for a good quality product. For example, digital pocket cameras like the Flip and the Kodak ZI-8, which is Kodak quit making digital cameras, although there's talk that their ownership switched hands, so they're going to be producing digital pocket cameras again. I don't know, but the ZI-8, I actually recommend it over the Flip. HD is basically, it's the size of the image. You know, there's 720 and 1080, and then there's SD, which I'm not even sure what sizes that was, but HD is a good thing. And the Kodak ZI-8, even though the, you know, the new Flip and everything will, they'll both do 1080, at least for the most. I don't know if there's flips that do less than 1080 anymore, but you can do 1080 with both cameras. But the Kodak one, it would have an external mic jack, so whereas the Flip records all the audio, I mean, you can record audio with an external device and then mix it through editing. Or if you got the Kodak with the external mic, you can input a nice shotgun mic, and that way you can have 1080 HD video and a good audio of your own. You know, you can have a battery powered mic, or you can have something with XLR cables, you know, and converted it in to plug into the jack. So that was a really good thing to have. Also, you can get adapters for the lenses on these things. You can get an adapter for iPhone. The iPhones now have really great cameras, and you can get devices to make like feature quality video recordings with these things. The Owly, I believe. You know, I mean, they're kind of pricey and they're kind of a little crazy. I ordered a lot of products from China that you can clamp them on and adjust them, or you can use little magnetic rings that clip around the lens of your camera and then you just get onto it. So you can get all kinds of different effects. You can get a fisheye lens, you can get a zoom lens, all these things that, you know, probably only cost like maybe like $50 overall, like if you buy a set of them. You know, you can find them on Amazon, eBay, real cheap, and put them in a little bag and carry them with them. You got your own little pocket recording studio. Now, an important thing to remember about HD is that true HD, sometimes it's just scaled up. Like if you've got a 7, you know, older HD would be 720, and now the new thing is, oh, 1080p, you know, 1080i, which there's differences in between those two as well, but, you know, is just upscaling, so it'll record a smaller HD and then upscale. So it's, I don't know if it's, how many cameras do true HD. I mean, the Kodak ZI-8, the quality of the images that I've seen from it are very nice. I've seen some, I'll link you to some example videos on YouTube. True HD versus upscaling, I mean, there's, like I said, there's the professional quality cameras like the Red that record film equivalent images in HD. You know, it's like stuff you would show in a theater resolution, which it, you know, I mean, for a professional, that if that's what you're really wanting to go for, if you, you know, if you have the sources for a Red, if you can afford, you know, a couple $1,000 camera, great. The thing is, I found what works for me. And these smaller digital cameras, now the important thing to remember with those smaller cameras is you're going to want to know how to hold them. Because if a digital camera moves, you often get this jello effect where the image kind of shakes when a person rattles. It's a matter of how you hold it. You can get little mini tripods now. You can make, you know, anything that separates your hand from actually holding the camera is usually a good thing. You can make, you know, shock mounts for them. You can, you know, put together a PVC pipe. You can take a screw and fasten it and then have pieces of wood. There are all kinds of DIY rigs out there for stabilization. I mean, it's best to get the stuff in the actual hardware of how you're handling the camera, because stabilizing an image after it's been shot often will result in cropping issues. It will just look like it's been stabilized and there's issues. So it's best to try and capture as many things when you're filming and then going down. But digital pocket cameras, I really like them. I really recommend them. And I really hope Kodak comes back out and brings back that line, because the ZI-8 was a really nice product. Anyway, let's talk about web cameras. Now, webcams, a lot of computers now have them built in. And if you're on a Mac like I am, I've got a Mac Pro, so I've bought a few. You have to get a universal USB cameras. You can't just have sometimes you'll get a regular USB camera that'll work, but most time it has to be a certain kind. That way, you know, if you're running an older version of OS X, you can get iChat to recognize it or Skype, you know. But anymore, if you get your computer to recognize your camera, you can run CamTwist, which is a free program. It also has CamTwist Studio, and it has a lot of effects. It has a lot of overlaying of text, of running multiple cameras, of being able to capture your desktop at the same time. It's a great free program on the Mac, and also on the PC, there's Webcam Max, does a lot of the same features, and also Minicam works on both Mac and PC, but there's a lot of... I've had issues with Minicam. Like, the second time I loaded it, it had a crash, and I couldn't get the program to stay open, and I've had people tell me that Minicam crashed their camera on their one system, and it's like, I don't doubt it, man. Drivers are weird. But anyway, you can have a built-in webcam, and there's also good HD cameras and other types that are fairly affordable out there. And if you're wanting to do live streaming of, say, you're a cartoonist like myself, I know plenty of web cartoonists that they go on streaming things and they just show themselves drawing and they capture their desktop. Sometimes they'll have a webcam going. And if you have something like CamTwist or Minicam, you can pull in these different picture-in-picture elements. The thing is, with those, where are you going to put it? Where are you going to do this? Well, you can do things like Ustream, Livestream, Justin TV, and you can also do Google Hangouts from your video. They each have their own little annoyances. Some might try and play ads over top of a live stream, which is, that's unforgivable. You know, I mean, you could do that over a video and then cut back to the video, but if you're doing a live feed and I'm interrupted seeing an ad, yeah, it's going to make me mad. But yeah, live streaming sites, there's more and more of them being added. There's, you know, I mean, if you're a really professional video person, you can do things like Wirecast. Ustream, their broadcasting software that's free was built around Wirecast. And there's, you know, Livestream has their own video things. And there's a lot of different web-based or softwares you can download from these sites that way you don't have to be running your browser to be doing the encoding. And it speeds up your machine if you're capturing your desktop or you don't want to keep going back to your computer to handle something. And also, let's talk about video uploading sites. There are sites like YouTube is obviously the most common. Then there's Blip TV and then Vimeo. Now, Vimeo is geared more towards like filmmakers. I mean, you can do pretty much anything like the others, but the way it's designed and the way it works, you know, Blip is designed for serialized content. And, you know, places, if you go to sites like that guy with the glasses and, you know, sites like that, you'll see a lot of people doing reviews of things and using Blip to host their videos, and they do reviews of TV shows and movies. And, you know, it's a matter of, they argue it's fair use, and my question is you have to be very careful. Well, fair use, well, you know, using something I didn't create and basically giving a summation of somebody else's product, you know, if somebody complains about it, like on YouTube, you know, it's very hard to do a review of a movie because, you know, the people that Viacom or whoever could very easily say, hey, that's our movie, we want to put an ad in front of it, or hey, we're going to want to pull that, you know, review, and we want to have our uploading of that kind of content. So, and it's all automatic. A lot of it's automatic stuff, actually getting people involved. It's a little bit easier to do on Blip, but Blip is culling the herd, basically. You know, a lot of video producers have been having to look at all the changes that have been going on. So, you know, YouTube has worked a little bit better for, like, a lot of Minecraft reviews and stuff have gone out there, because Minecraft, they're fine with people recording and doing stuff on their, with their game and getting reviews from it and making all kinds of adventures. So, versus, you know, and a lot of other video let's plays of games and stuff on YouTube, because YouTube is, there's a lot of stuff on there, and I don't know how easily spotted stuff is. I don't know. And YouTube also works with Google Hangouts, because Google owns YouTube now. That if you do a live Hangout, you can have it go onto YouTube at the same time, and then it'll save the recording of it. So that's kind of cool. And so, yeah, those are video uploading sites. Basically, if you're going to be producing stuff, you know, I mean, video, I mean, podcasting is a file, and it's easier to host podcasting yourself. Video requires a lot of storage and a lot of bandwidth and a lot of other things that, you know, it's usually best to have an outside service. I mean, there's other video hosts out there, Daily Motion. Springboard is an interesting one I'd like to know more about, but I think you have to have an established video audience, and I'm still working on that myself. So these are just, you know, this is just the ground floor introductory stuff about video production. I'll probably do more episodes later going into details about stuff, but yeah, I think this one's overall gone well for introduction stuff. So thanks for tuning in. I'll see you all on the other side. More, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.